You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
All right, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show. We're doing a CBS Sports Radio throwback day with our show coming to an end, and the network really coming to an end next week. Our final show is Friday, and one of my favorite shows, actually not one of my favorite, the favorite show to interact with during my time here at the network was the DA Show, and now joining us is Damon Amendolara, and a guy that I could finally call him Mraz again, because we've had to call him Sean Marash now around 345 Hudson Street. Hey, DA, if you haven't heard, I'm getting laid off, so I need some vacation recommendations. Peru, late April. Does that sound decent?
Actually, yes, and I can speak to experience. It's actually a beautiful time of year to go to Peru because once upon a time I went there right around this time of year, and I got crushed on the show by both Kenny Brock and Mraz for it. But nothing to compare to the time that I went to the Rockies alone. Actually, I went to Utah, right? I went to Utah to go see canyons solo. And boy, these guys absolutely crucified me.
Oh, yes, that's right. The solo trip. The Peru trip, if I remember correctly, was during the NFL draft. You know, yeah. Typically a time, DA, we like working in sports radio, which was
oh, that's right.
Very difficult.
That's right.
Well, I will
that's
say,
right.
DA, you had this ability. Whenever you would go away, there would be some earth-shattering breaking news. Not just like, oh, someone got traded. It would be like the biggest star in the league would end up getting traded.
Yeah, something out with Odell. Didn't Odell get traded the day that I was out?
Yeah, the Odell trade to the Browns happened. You were out.
Woof.
DA was also in Florida at spring training the day sports shut down during COVID. Me and Andrew Bogut was doing the
actually
show.
I was actually at a spring training baseball game, one of the last ones on Earth. It felt like the last sporting event on Earth in Port St. Lucie.
Yeah, he also missed. I think you also were out the day after the Raptors beat the Warriors in the finals. It was one of those crazy NBA final endings. There was like another one of those, too.
Yeah, perhaps. I did have a knack for somehow coming up in smallest and the biggest spots. So that should be my legacy over at CBS Sports Radio.
Now, I will say, though, all kidding aside, though, the legacy to me when I look back at the DA show is it's very tough to have a local feel when you do a national radio show. But the way that you guys made so many different markets feel as if it was their local show in town, that's the thing as a host that, you know, when I got here, I was doing weekend overnights. That's what I always kind of modeled after what you guys were able to do with the DA show.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. It was interesting because we began as the overnight show, and because of that, we felt, and I don't want to speak for Mraz, but I felt like, who the heck is listening in the middle of the night? So every time we got a call, every time we got a tweet or a message, an email, it felt like they were the only people listening. So it gave it a real intimate feel right off the bat. And then we started doing Market Watch, where we were tallying the calls and the tweets and the votes from each market. And then at the end of the week, we would see whose market won. And so each market was in competition with one another, and they really took it seriously. And it was like, oh, this week Atlanta had a great week. Oh, this week was Green Bay. It began feeling more like we were talking to towns within a market versus different markets across the entire country. And that DNA, I think, always carried through the show.
And then for you, Mraz, how did you join the show? Like, how did you and DA get paired up where it's this marriage now that even though you guys aren't working together anymore, people still always link you two together?
So short story longer, the exact seat I'm taping this interview in was the exact seat and position I was in when DA talked to me for the first time in an interview.
At that.
Which is actually just dawning on me now. Look, DA had a pool of a couple at the time, WFA and local part-timers that had climbed the ladder, one of which was me, that were looking for full-time jobs when CBS Sports Radio at the time launched. DA met with all of us. I just sat there. I mean, I'll be honest with you, totally unqualified for the position of full-time producer at the time. Just shot from the hip, talked to DA, got a call about 2 days later, and was stunned to a news to find out that I had been, in fact, selected. And the rest just kind of took off from there between every way I could aggravate DA and be as unprofessional as possible and him try to teach me professionalism. You know, I had a lot of Abdul Carter in me back then, and it seemed to shake out.
And DA, you had like this ability to find these characters and then give them voices on your show. Like, when did you know, all right, this Marash guy, he's got something to him where he'll cry on the air when Ryan Callahan gets traded, or he'll poop his pants and make national headlines while sitting in the control room?
Well, how could you ever know a guy would poop his pants in the control room and that would become one of the most famous moments of your career? Those things just happen because of karmic reasons, yeah. Cosmic happenstance. But it's interesting because when I spoke to the three would-be producers, and it was CBS Sports Radio's head honchos, Mark Chernoff and Eric Spitz, they said, here's three guys. They've done a lot of work here. We think one of them would be a good fit. If you don't like any three of them, then you can interview some of your own guys as well, but try these three guys first. And one was Mraz, one was Mike Carver, who would go on to work with Scotty Farrell for a long time. And I think one was Lou Gower, if I'm not mistaken, as well, which
Correct.
Is pretty ironic.
Yes.
And all three of those guys, great guys. And I could have worked with any three of them. But Mraz told me, I said, each one of them, I said, so tell me about your favorite teams. And Mraz, of course, said, well, the Giants are my favorite team. And I said, so tell me why. And he told me the story about how his dad wanted to name him after Lawrence Taylor. And his grandma said, we're not going to name the baby after a crack addict. And I was like, well, that's an amazing story. So, and then how do we land on Sean? Well, it was supposed to be Phil, but nobody liked Phil Sims, his Phil name. And so then we landed on Sean for Landetta, the punter. And I said, you're named after Sean Landetta, the Giants punter? He said, yeah, like that was down the roster of the 86 Giants. And I was like, okay, there's something here. And then he showed me the tattoo on his shoulder. I said, there's got to be something there. So Mraz and I started working just on this kind of like thin thread of, I could tell there was going to be some incredible context or storytelling or something. And you know, he was one of the guys that worked through the system. So I always wanted to give guys like that a chance. It wasn't until March of that year. So we started January 2nd. We're talking about 2 to 2.5 months in. And we were kind of flabbergasted, me and Brock, at all these crummy jerseys Mraz would wear to work at night. And we were like, why would you own that jersey? And he's like, you haven't seen anything yet. And we said, are you serious? He's like, I have this, I have that. And we were laughing like, no way you have a Brian Keel jersey. No way do you have a Courtney Brown Browns jersey. No way do you have a 0-0 Houston Texans unnamed jersey. He's like, no, I got him. So that was around Lent, and we did 30 jerseys in 30 nights.
Oh,
and every night for 30 straight days, Mraz had to wear a different jersey in escalating ridiculousness, which then culminated in the top, I mean, jersey of all time, which was an authentic, well, inauthentic Joe Morris jersey from 1987 or something like that, a tiny pint-sized running back for the Giants that was still, it was a kid's size, and Mraz wore it to work, and we saw his whole gut, his whole belly, he's pouring out of it, and he took a photo with Tiki Barber because Tiki was also floored that he would wear this or even have this, and that moment was like, there's magic here. Well, you can't script something that absurd, and you know I'm always there for the theater of the absurd.
And at the time, as an aspiring broadcaster, I remember seeing Facebook videos of Mraz, who I did not know even like existed. And remember that song, Power? It was like, dun, dun, I got that power.
Yeah.
And it was Mraz dancing and shaking what he has, that God-given ability. And that was the moment where I first knew who Mraz was. And it's wild now that, you know, Mraz is a close friend. But we talk about making a difference in this business. Like you say sometimes, and, you know, I felt that before doing an overnight show. It's like you never know who's listening, but you're on so many different stations around the country, like big stations. And it's some of the most more fun times of my career. But I remember when I was doing the weekend overnights, like you pulled me aside one day when I was taping an interview, DA, and you said, hey, like, you're doing a great job. Like, your work ethic is noticed. The way you get guests to say things is getting noticed. And that's when I started to realize, okay, like, I have something here. For you guys as a show, whether it's before Mraz or after Mraz, like, whatever, when did you realize, DA, that, okay, that going from local to national was really worth it for you?
Well, it was always a dream. I mean, I didn't even dream of this. I never dreamt about going national. I just dreamt about being a sports radio host at some point in my career. And then the goals keeps getting bigger and you have more success. And then you say, oh my God, could that be realistic? And then eventually it came around when I was working in Boston. But I mean, doing that show was so extraordinary because it is so rare to work with close friends. I'm not talking about you become friends because of circumstance, like, oh, you work together, so you're friends. I mean, Mraz became a brother to me, and Pete the Body and Bogish and so many of the guys that we had work on the show became a family. And I remember saying many a time, it ain't always going to be like this. I just knew it couldn't always be that magical. And so the chemistry that we had, the people that we had, I still pinch myself. Like, I can't believe I had that much luck to be coupled with those guys. It was, and I said this at the time, I said, this is Camelot, guys. You won't get this. It won't always be like this. It can't always be like this because you don't always get this. And I had enough experience in the business to where I knew this was so special. But I mean, I don't know about you, Mraz, but I felt like midway through year one, it was already obvious. Me, you, and Brock had something.
Yeah.
I mean, and we haven't seen Brock in person in how many years, but
yeah.
I feel like the three of us are still thick as thieves.
Yeah. Anytime there's a text involved with him, it's like we're right back in 2014 again, for sure. For me, I was learning. DA already knew way more about the business than I did because he had so much more experience. So I don't think I ever fully clicked and realized what we were like. I was just living in the moment the whole time and learning the business. But for me, really, it was the fall of 2018 when Boise, Idaho invited us out as a show. So we're 5 years in as a show at that time. And we had a great affiliate, KTIK, out there to, you know, come out there. DA had really kind of boots on the ground, orchestrated the whole thing. And I had never been on that. I thought it was 2 hours from Cleveland. I didn't know where the hell we were going. So we fly out there. You know, we're changing over in the Minneapolis airport. Where, you know, it felt like the movie Home Alone. We're running through the airport. We get to Boise, Idaho, a place I never thought I'd be in a million years. We land. We wake up. It's cold in the morning. It's 4 a.m. their time. We're going to do a show from the team store. And then they send us on a bunch of appearances throughout the day. And it was that day. I'll never forget that Friday, the day before this game, where every stop we made, we would pull up in a car that they would drive us around. They took care of us like we were the freaking Beatles. And there would be a line of people wrapped around these places that we were showing up. And, you know, growing up in New York, listening to sports talk radio and obviously DA working, it was like they care that much. This community cares that much about what we had built and how special it was that moment and that weekend and that trip. I never took the show for granted again. I never took this business for granted again. And I never took the listeners for granted again because that was the reminder in the peak of you have something special and this is what it means to people. And that is probably my favorite weekend of my life all time.
Wow.
Wow. You know, and Mraz, we should have realized there, we should have just retired from CBS Sports Radio and become the morning show in Boise.
Yeah, no doubt.
Honestly,
potatoes.
We could have owned that town for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. I mean, eventually, we would have been doing 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. there, probably, but that's fine.
So the last thing I'll just ask both you guys, because, you know, obviously Jim Rome was the franchise here for so many years. We're not able to really have the network as long as we did if it wasn't for Jim, because that was the biggest name. But I think you guys were the best show in the history of the network. And just being here in the building, people wanted to be a part of the show. Like, I wanted my clips played on Soundcheck. You know, I wanted to interact and do picks competitions with Mraz. I even dated Mraz's sister's best friend to just be a part of the show, for being honest.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
she's no longer friends with him.
I forget about those times too. But anyway, it meant something to be a part of the DA show. So you guys have so many, you know, even today, things that live on in the network, and listeners still bring up things daily in our YouTube chat on the show, just moments of every day of what you guys did for this network. So I just want to give you guys a chance to, you know, either one of you, before we wrap this up, to just say goodbye and what the listeners kind of meant to you.
Well, that's really nice of you to say, Zach. Mraz, I'm going to give you the first dap at this.
Yeah. And we want tears, by the way.
No, look, it's less tears, but just look, I have been very, very fortunate as my career has turned on to make something of a dream I once had, which was getting to talk sports for a living. And I would not have been able to live out this dream without everything I foundationally learned in the early years of CBS Sports Radio on the DA show. And, you know, despite DA's best tries teaching me how to be professional, and I guess I somewhat got that. But I mean, look, man, it's 2025 and this thing launched in 2013. Yeah. And like you mentioned, Zach, I mean, you've come over to my house, you know, my children, how many of the colleagues and coworkers here, Bogish and Bilotti, the births of kids, DA having, well, me having them, like the growth we all had together. And then the connection with listeners. I mean, listeners from CBS Sports Radio, I consider friends now and I keep in touch with. Where do you get that in radio? So, I would not be who I am today without, I know it's Infinity, but CBS Sports Radio. I would not be who I am today without the DA show. And I can say no matter what happens the rest of my life, there'll be plenty of mistakes. There'll be plenty of good times.
Pooping your pants.
Pooping my pants. Right, exactly. Now my poor kids, anytime a freaking parent has to wonder who their friend's kid's parent is, they Google me and that's what comes up. Like, don't do that. All of those things, man, I cherish and I hold near and dear to my life. And like, there's no doubt about it. I hope I have many good years ahead of me, but the decade plus I spent with DA on CBS Sports Radio, I mean, how is it not the favorite decade of my life that I've lived?
Yeah, well said. I really think this is important. Having worked at multiple channels, networks, radio stations, et cetera, one thing that is hugely important to camaraderie, chemistry, and the on-air product is hiring good people. You don't always have to hire the most talented. You do have to hire good people. And Chernoff and Spitz hired really good people. We attracted good people. And when you think of the original lineup, you know, everybody seemed to pull in the same direction. It could be because we were kind of an expansion team. That tends to happen. I had launched a couple of radio stations before, and there is a certain camaraderie. Everybody pulling in the same direction. It's us against the world. But when you think down the line, I mean, I think Mraz would echo this. We were the overnight show, and nobody looked down at us like Scotty Farrell, who was a legend, or Tiki and Brandon and Dana Jacobson, who had been around the block many years before we got there. I mean, everybody to a person. When Jim Rome came in, Jim was so complimentary of the show. Everybody felt like teammates. And that goes such a long way, because it meant we all felt that we could poke fun at everybody and bring everybody's life into the show around the network, around the station. And that it was in good fun. I mean, Jody Mack's black lung cough, or Robbie Rosenhaus's singing, or Shep's ridiculousness, or go down the list, everything became a layer of the show.
Yeah.
And that lent itself, I think, to feeling very authentic and absurdist and fun and inviting. And to work with Mraz for as long as I did, it was so funny because we came from different worlds. I had this journalism background and years in radio and a structured way of doing things. And Mraz was a sandwich artist and a super fan, you know, overt super fan. And I was trying to be diplomatic and he wasn't. And it worked so good. And why? He's just a great person. Mm-hmm. And so as angry as I could get and as frustrated, it became fodder for the show, because I wasn't angry because he wasn't a good guy. I just was angry because I had all these rigid ideas of how the show should sound, and he was going to break everything, the bull in the china shop. And it became perfect. It just became so perfect. And then again, we got to Pete the Body and we got to Bogues, and you know, Zach, and you're a great dude as well. It was easy to bring you in. We had quality individuals at every step of the way that made it feel really, really special. And that's not common. It's not easy to find that many quality people. So I think that lent itself to it. I think the listeners also, when the listeners got it, they really got it. Mm-hmm. And when they got it, man, they were all in. You know, Mraz and I were not always in an advantageous position. We moved time slots so many times that you could have resistance from a previous audience, like, oh, you guys aren't Taz and the Moose. Oh, you guys aren't this. We followed three or four different shows into new time slots. We never got that. Yeah. We never got like, oh, this is not my old show. It was always like, oh, cool, D.A. Mraz, or oh, cool, I've heard the show in the overnights, or oh, cool, I've heard a little bit of this. That from the listeners was an enormous boost that we didn't have to fight against the current in any time slot. So a lot of things worked for us, and you know, sometimes it is cosmic. And I just think those 11 years I had at CBS Sports Radio, and I said this on my YouTube show the other night, I will put those years up against anything I've ever done as some of my most proud content, exciting, fun, eccentric, ridiculous content. And I really think it was some of the best stuff I've ever been part of. And it was hugely dependent on the quality of the people that were around me.
Well said. D.A. and Mraz, appreciate you guys both. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you. All right, love you, Zach. Listeners. Take care.
There you go. D.A. and Mraz. Couldn't have a network send-off without those two guys joining us. Already had Scott Farrell, Taz, BT, D.A. and Mraz still to come. We will have Jody Mack on today, Doug Gottlieb, Brian Jones, Chris Moore, Bill Reiter. We'll keep it rocking and rolling, but we come on back, we go back to the after-hour days. That's right. Amy Lawrence makes a return to the Infinity Sports Network when a CBS Sports Radio Remembrance Day when we come on back next. All righty, welcome back in. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Now joining us is Amy Lawrence, who, of course, hosted After Hours for so many years on what was CBS Sports Radio, then turned into Infinity Sports Network. Amy, how you been?
Oh my gosh, good. Crazy, but good. I seriously can't believe we're in the final few days of 2025. Somehow, in celebrating our two-year anniversary, my husband and I have managed to pack a second cross-country move into the mix. I do not recommend. So we have recently relocated to Texas. Both our moms are here. His whole family's here. So it was a good move for us. But man, moving is not for the faint of heart. I think I'd rather poke a fork in my eye than ever move again. And next time, Zach, I highly recommend this. Next time, if you have to move, just leave everything and go. Just leave it for the next people who come in and beat it out of there.
Well, I'll always say, and I understand, right, we're personalities and what we do. People, like, they tune in, they want to hear the sports talk, but you always had a great ability to work in your family, right? Work in your pets, right? I even remember being in the office, and I'm actually upset you're no longer here. The Christmas cookies and the goodies that would be stuffed in my locker during this time of the year. So that family atmosphere that you kind of brought to the network, I always thought was pretty damn cool with you.
I appreciate that. You know, something I learned in 2020 and also being in this business for a really long time, two key pieces of advice that I try to give to young broadcasters, especially young women that I mentor. You're not supposed to be like everyone else. That was bad advice I got when I was younger. I had a couple of PDs say to me, program directors say to me, we want you to be more like the guy. So don't talk about your personal life. Don't talk about what makes you different. So that was really terrible advice. So now I understand that in order to stand out in a very crowded field, what you're supposed to do is accentuate what makes you different. And so that's one thing. The second piece of advice I give people is that it's far more about who you are and how you interact with people than it is about what you say. I mean, Zach, you and I could give the most brilliant analysis of the game between the Rams and the Seahawks and that NFC West matchup. And you know what? There's going to be a star quarterback who's going to do it better, a former coach who's going to have a more memorable insight. For you and I, what's going to stick with listeners is how we connect. And so I realized during the pandemic, when I spent 3.5 months broadcasting from my spare bedroom with my nose in a corner and nobody around except for my three pets, that what really makes listeners remember and causes listeners to return is how you connect with them. And that is finding common ground. You and I are people first before we are anything else. We're siblings, we're sons and daughters, we're friends, we're aunts, we're uncles. We are people who buy and sell houses. We move, we struggle with paying a bill, we get into car accidents, I mean, all that kind of stuff. And so what we have in common is far greater than what divides us. So it became pretty apparent that what stuck out to people was, you know, kind of the common experiences and what we shared. And that's where my show really took a turn. And I think really the last, I guess it would have been the last 4.5 years that I was on the network, I could see that make a difference with the people that we spoke to on a nightly basis.
You being in the business for so long, when you remember the network launch, like, what was your thoughts? And then eventually when they promoted you into the Monday through Friday lineup and right, gave you your own show, just what were those feelings like?
Well, it's pretty incredible. to have the support of Mark Chernoff and Eric Spitz from the very beginning. Originally, when they came to me to ask me to make the jump, I was at ESPN Radio, so I was working in Bristol. And Bristol was knocking on my door and calling me and saying, hey, we've got some work for you. It was over the Christmas season, of course. We'd like to schedule you for some work right after the first of the year. And I was still in this place where I wasn't sure that this was the right move. I had a condo that I owned in Connecticut. And initially, CBS Sports Radio wanted to make it a part-time gig. And I said, I don't think there's any way. So what Eric and Mark did for me was convert it into a full-time job so that I could make the move to New York or to New Jersey is where I landed and be part of the network full-time. And it was scary, of course, because again, I was leaving the worldwide leader. Sure. We now know that there is life after ESPN. It's really not that big of a deal. But at the time, that was my first network job and I wasn't sure. And so I made the jump. It was a little scary. Did everything those first 2 years, filled in for every other show on the network and also had my own Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So got immersed in the NFL right away, was filling in for Scott Farrell and Doug Gottlieb, who were originals on the network. And then when it came time for them to offer me that 5 nights a week to take over the overnights, it was again scary. What happens if I don't have the content or if I'm not engaging enough? And what they said to me, and Zach, again, great advice, goes along with what I was just talking about being original. Amy, we hired you to be you. We don't want you to be anyone else but Amy. That was an exact quote from Mark Chernoff. I don't want you to be anyone else but Amy. And it was such a confidence boost, Zach. It was one of those really affirming, kind of validating moments that they didn't hire me just because I was some name from ESPN. They hired me because they liked who I was and liked what I brought to the table. And at that point, I really felt like my creativity was encouraged and I could take off. And gosh, you know, confidence means so much. It's like one of the NFL teams right now that is Patriots or Bills even used to coming back. Lately, the Denver Broncos used to rallying when they're down in the fourth quarter. When you do it and you know you can do it and it's been proven, it gives you such a boost. And for me, it was a huge turning point in my career. And I will now look back and say this was the best career move I ever made because it changed who I was as a host. It forced me to fly on my own, but it also put me in a situation where I had the best bosses I ever had. And I will just say too, Eric Spitz hired me again at SiriusXM. So the man has hired me twice, which I will forever be grateful for.
Well, Amy, hey, we can't thank you enough. Obviously, it was great to be a coworker of yours all throughout the years. And I know that you're still having success now over at Sirius. But obviously, we're on in the network today. And I said, we got to find a way to get Amy on in some way. So it's been great to catch on up with you. And thanks so much for doing this.
I'll tell you this, Zach, the best piece of advice I ever got in the business was, and it was essentially kind of a funny little snarky remark, but you haven't made it in our industry until you've been fired at least twice. A friend saying that to me, but he wanted me to know that it wasn't the end of the world the first time I got fired. I've been fired 3 times, though not at infinity. I just want to clarify that. And so I just want you to know every single time I've landed on my feet and I've been in a better situation. And with your talent and how hard you work, I have no doubt that that will be the case for you too, Zach.
No, I really appreciate that. Thanks so much. I guess I got to get fired like two more times or something
there
like that.
There you go. To make be part up of the club.
Got it. Thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you, Zach.
There you go. Amy Lawrence, After Hours, joining us right here as we're taking a look back at all the great hosts from the CBS Sports Radio days. When we come on back, Jody Mack is going to join us. I think Bill Reiter will also join us in the next segment as well, still to come. We will chat it up with Doug Gottlieb, Chris Moore, Brian Jones. It's a whole CBS Sports Radio throwback day right here on what is now the Infinity Sports Network for what, like another week, week and a half, however long we're doing this thing for. But our last show is going to be, the last Zach Gelb show is going to be tomorrow. So we're looking forward, obviously, to putting a bow on what has been a great chapter. But standing by the latest sports flash, here he is, CeeLo, Chris Lopresti. Alrighty, welcome back in. Zach Gelb here with you. We are looking on back on the great times that we had at CBS Sports Radio. Obviously, a lot of changes going around here. It used to be CBS Sports Radio in the day. Now, you know, the last few years, it's been Infinity Sports Network. But at the end of the year, we are waving goodbye, and they're launching a brand new network. We've already had on Scotty Farrell, Taz, BT, D.A. Marash. You just heard from Amy. And now we bring in a legend. He, of course, is Jody Mack, Jody McDonald. Jody Mack, how you been, my man?
Legend? Really? You're going there? Come on, Gelb. You know better than that.
Well, you are. Like, I grew up listening to Jody Mack And Stu just shook his head, and he is in agreement with me that you are a legend. And then also, just the things that you would do around here with the betting slips and all the bets you would lose and those horse tickets where I would get in for a weekend overnight, and there was a stack of papers about 6'8" high. You know, you provided a lot of content through the years.
Yeah, but at least I took the winning tickets out of there with me. It wasn't like all of them were losers. I make enough bets that they're going to be losing tickets, but many of them over the years, I actually got the cash. Because remember, hope you're cashing them, not trashing them.
Yeah, 100%. So you've obviously hosted on so many huge stations, WFAN, WIP. Like, you've been everywhere. But here at the network, you've been like the greatest utility man that we've ever had. You would go filling on mornings, filling on afternoons, filling on evenings, right? Yet obviously did weekends for, you know, since the inception. We used to work together in the football season on Eye on Football. When you take a look back at your time on the network, just what really stands out getting to be able to talk to so many different people from so many different areas doing the national show?
Well, let me first say that I'm glad that there is no Eye on Football anymore for this year, because I would have had to deal with you and your Patriots all friggin' year. Oh, my God, that would have killed me. So glad to be doing it with Anthony Gallo. Miss you a little bit, but not on good Patriot years. I don't miss you a little bit. Yeah, as I'm the only one left who lasted all 13 years from the time the network started, the regular hosts, the Monday through Friday crew and the weekend guys. I'm the only guy who didn't get fired at all over those 13 years or went off to better, bigger and better things. So I take a little bit of a pride in that because I did stick around for all 13 of the years. But you just ran down a couple of the names, the guys you had on and the ladies you had on. Great crew. Just a really good crew of not only broadcasters, but people as well. The last several years, like right now, I'd be doing it from home after COVID. But before that, I got up there to 345 Hudson, just like you and everybody else, and got to work with all the different people and the like. It was a really good crew. It was well produced. It was well done. Very good producers like you got Michael here and the Hickeys of the world and the James Wards of the world. We had a pretty good run for 13 years with a lot of very good people.
Now, one of the most impressive things was we'd get these five-minute commercial breaks. And Jody Mack would walk out the studio, get into the elevator, go down the street, smoke a cigarette, and then come back up. So I need to know the procedure here. Since you're at home, does the smoke break happen in the house? Do you go out of the house? Like, how do you work in the smoke break these days?
No, I head out to the backyard about 13 steps in the house and then another 20 steps out the back door. So certainly easier commute than going up and down the stairs. That elevator, if that elevator ever got stuck, I was screwed. So yes, you conform to the situation around you. But I was also smart enough to make sure the only time I ever went out was when we had a nice lengthy 2.5 to 3 minute update. So that would give me more than enough time to get up and back.
Obviously, your show, right, you're a sports encyclopedia. What do you think? And obviously, you'll be doing this until the day you die, talking sports, wherever it may be. But what do you think you're going to miss the most about doing the show on CBS Sports Radio / Infinity Sports Network?
Because I had done some national radio shoot. I was one of the original in too many friggin' things, ESPN radio guys. Before they ever had Monday through Friday, they debuted with weekends, ESPN radio, and went up to Bristol every single weekend, which was fun. Did it for about a year and a half, had a good time doing it, filling in for Dan Patrick, filling in for Tony Bruno. But I had never been a every day, every week national guy. And you got to put the work in. You got to stay on top of things when you're doing local. And I did New York and Philadelphia forever, still do Philadelphia. That's only a handful of teams you got to stay on top of. When you're doing a national show, you got to know everything that's going down. So it made me a better sports fan, be it on the internet or watching stuff on TV and games and everything else. I think it made me a better talk show host, and it gave me more reason to not have to do chores around the house because, honey, I got a game I got to watch. Sorry, I got to be talking about it this weekend. Made my life a little bit both more difficult and easier.
And I'll tell you, the game balls that we used to do on Eye on Football was my favorite because Jody would rush in the 1 o'clock window. It could be by halftime. The game's not even over, and he would send me a text just to get the game balls in for the segment that we would do probably at about like 7:50 to close out the 8-hour marathon of Eye on Football.
And don't let him kid you, listeners. He did the same thing to me. He texted me. Many a time I was just about to text, oh, shoot, Gelb got him first. Yeah, we had fun shooting a text back and forth on IM Football. That was a lot of fun.
Well, I'll never forget. I'll tell this story. There was one day where I got a text when I'm doing the show. And it just says, text from Jody McDonald. And it said, I'm gay. And I'm like, what?
Hello.
And I go, Jody, like, what did Jody just text me? I go, who did this message for? And you go, oh, doy, I meant I want Matt gay for my Matt game gay. Ball. I was cracking up when you sent me that text. What was it, like 2 years ago?
I'm blaming autocorrect. I would not have made that mistake. So it had to be autocorrect on the phone.
Well, Jody, anyway, obviously we want to thank you for all that you've done for the network and all the shows that you've done. I really do appreciate you jumping on board with us today.
Gelby, good man, good family. Tell your father I send my regards. Know you're going to do great wherever you land, brother.
You got it. Oh, could we get one final cough, Jody? There we go. The Mac man, Jody Mac, joining us. All right, let's go from Jody to a man that wanted to go out with a bang. That's what he did. I have not looked at these garbage rankings, but I've been told that he ranked all the hosts at the network. And I know that he wants to ruffle some feathers in the last week here. And that is the legendary Bill Ryder, who is joining us right now. Bill, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Now, just for the record, Zach, this wasn't about me. This is about you, all right? I've been watching the show. You've been really nice. You let Taz just take shots at Moose. So I'm just trying to get you a little uncomfortable. I'll be that guy. I need you to come out of your, you know, skin a little bit. You can get a little aggressive. You know, it's your last show, bro. Don't be afraid.
Well, my last show is tomorrow, and I'm going to let Taz do what Taz...
second to last show.
I'm going to let Taz do what Taz wants to do. If Taz wants to take a shot at Moose, let him take a shot at Moose. Okay. What am I going to do? Sit here and then... And anyone you want to take a shot at? Anyone you want to just throw some stones at?
No, I'm good, man. I mean, look, I got to tell you.
I want you to be tough here. I want you to be throwing some fisticuffs here. What happened, Bill Ryder?
I mean, yeah, like, who do you... Do you want me to go at you a little bit? Do like a little 30 seconds at...
Yeah, but that would be contrived. Like, you know I have thick skin. Like, you did these rankings today because you know I could take it and I won't be sending you a text and crying about for, like, 37 years over.
That was my primary thought about the rankings. Here's my thing. Here's, like, my general thing. I have actually loved every moment of this job. And I know, like, sort of listening, a lot of people were frustrated. I thought Scotty was hilarious. I mean, I have nothing but amazing things to say about my time at Odyssey. I mean, like, look, do I wish we all had jobs next week? Yes. Do I think we do an incredible radio network and great work? I do. But sort of my message is thank you to, I'm going to forget people, Mark Chernoff, Eric Spitz, David Marinick, Chris Olivero, Jeff Solano, people past and present. So, no, man. I mean, look, the only... You didn't listen to the... What'd you call them? Garbage ranking? So I should have moved you down a little bit because that's lazy. But I will say this. I ranked 17 people. I respected the hell out of 16 of them. And it sounds like Taz and Moose weren't getting along anyway. So that ranking seems correct at 17 since Taz came on and just out of the gate... What? Moose sucks. Like, that was, you know, that feels like a show that wasn't going to work.
Why do you have issues with Taz?
Oh, I'm sure he's super nice. Just the show wasn't very good.
Oh, okay. So that's what it was. You didn't like the Taz and the Moose show. Okay, that's fine.
I mean, come on. Oh, whoa. Did you like the Taz and the Moose show?
I didn't really listen to it.
God. Well, you were, whoa. You filled in on it. I just found out. You were like a...
Yeah. Like a... I filled in with Taz and then I filled in with Moose. I was the...
You didn't listen? Like, just like get the vibe down? You know, kind of figure it out.
I had Biseglia just tell me everything that I need to know. I was playing the good cop and they were the bad cops in this whole situation. I was just trying to bring everybody together and be like, hey, why can't we be friends? But you're right. Like, I have no animosity out the door with Odyssey. I probably end up working for Odyssey again, you know, down the road. I think they ran a great network. I think they did a great job. This isn't an Odyssey issue. Like, I don't blame the network coming to the end on Odyssey, and I understand the business side of it. So I don't have any resentment, but, you know, I kind of wanted to give everyone their piece today. And obviously, you were a big part of the network doing 6 to 10 p.m. for all those years on the East Coast. And then eventually, after a short hiatus away, coming on back from 10 a.m. to noon. But I remember when I talked to Eric Spitz and he wanted to bring me on board and he wanted to audition me on the weekend overnights, he told me, listen to Bill Ryder from 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. Like, this is how we want our shows to sound. So that's when I know obviously you're a big NBA writer and all that stuff, But that's when I really started to know who Bill Ryder was, when I was tuning in to audition for the job and they had me basically listening on your show.
I did not know that story. So Eric is now number one on my executive power rankings, which I'm just releasing right here. Mr. Spitz, just that's very good advice by him. Look, dude, you and I have had this conversation because you came in, you actually took the slot that I took when CBS Sports basically bought me out of radio and said you can only work in this sort of small slot. And then very graciously, Mark Chernoff found room for me when Pat McAfee left, who was obviously massively talented and successful. I've loved it here. I mean, I've had, and you will too, you're younger than I am, I've had a lot of jobs. Scotty said something that's true on your show earlier. You get hired in this business to get fired. And this is the one job I've had that I loved every moment of. And you know, radio is different than having a TV show or yeah. Being a writer. It's social. There's a connection. I've made lifelong friends. Maybe some of those friendships will be strained because of the rankings that you referenced earlier. But you know, well, we're all going to get through it together. Me and DA and Pat Boyle and you, we're all going to figure it. I mean, I rank myself 13, Zach. I mean,
yeah,
I'm going to have a talk with myself.
You should have put yourself in like the top five. You should have just done that and told everybody F off. That's what I would have done.
I know, yeah, you would. But I have too much respect for everybody.
But I will say this. And, like, obviously, when Bill comes to town, like, we'll go out, we'll have drinks. And, yeah. Like, this is not just Bill BSing. Bill's loved the radio show the most. Like, Bill has had a really good career, you know, TV, radio, writing basketball. And he always kept on doing the radio show. And I know that was something that is a great passion for you. And obviously, right, all these changes, people like routines. I understand changes happen all the time in radio, but for how long you've been doing it, you are in people's daily routines, even if the lineup has changed. And I know there's a certain way where it's not scripted and you connect with your audience. And that's something that clearly you've really enjoyed.
I'm sure you're finding this too. And plug alert, obnoxious plug alert coming. I'm trying to remember. Oh yeah, BillRyder.substack.com.
Yeah, I think I've seen about 4,000 tweets about it.
I'm waiting for you to sign up, Zach, but that's okay. That's for later. I know
you're gonna do that. Don't hold your
breath. I'm not. Look, I think I was the first person here, first full-time host here to say that I was going away. And, you know, thank you to Chris Olivero and Jeff Sottolano for allowing that. And I was surprised, and I'm sure you've had the same thing. I was surprised how big the audience is that's out there and how significant you connect with people. I understand how lucky we are to do this and to come into people's homes, cars, you know, ear pods, whatever. There is a large audience for me, which means there's a large audience for everybody else at this network. And to everybody who is, so there's some crossover here who's watching Zach because, you know, you're part of both of our audiences. Thank you. I mean, this has been... Yeah. It's like the old Tom Sawyer and Jim thing on the raft. You don't usually get eulogized when you're alive, and at least all of us are having that experience, however bittersweet this week is.
Bill, we appreciate it. Obviously, we're going to be in touch. You know, come to New York whenever you want, and let's get drunk, all right?
I can do that.
we know that. There he is, Bill Ryder, obviously righter than you right here on the Infinity Sports Network. And I'll tell you, Bill's 100% right. You know, I put out my post and I was waiting until the last week. I didn't want this to be a long send-off and a long goodbye. And usually when I put out posts, I'll get like 50% of the people love them. 50% of the people will tell me like I'm an idiot and I'm a moron and I shouldn't have a job and blah, blah, blah. I would say out of the responses I got, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, people DMing me on like all these different platforms, 98% of them are positive. Like that just doesn't happen. But I've heard from so many different people, and I'm only 31. Oh, I remember listening to you on Weekend Overnights. I had some guy tell me he's been listening to me since 9:20 a.m. The Jersey. I didn't even know we had listeners when I was at 9:20 a.m. The Jersey. So it's just such a humbling thing to go through. And obviously, we all want to have our jobs, and we all want this to continue because what we had was very special. But that's not the way that life works. And to be able to hear from all of you and to connect with you, and that's why I tried to respond to as many as I can, we just thank you from the bottom of our hearts. All righty, Doug Gottlieb going to join us next. Coming on back, as you remember, CBS Sports Radio.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.